tuning in to Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and joining me today is author Rick Keeling. Rick has just published his new children's book, It's Just My Imagination. Rick was born and raised in the city of Dallas, and after completing high school, he enlisted in the U.S. Navy and was stationed in San Diego, California. While in the Navy, he served in Operation Desert Shield and Desert Storm, and after completing his military service, he remained in San Diego, California, with his wife and two daughters for the next 16 years. While residing in San Diego, Rick acquired his bachelor's degree in psychology and his master's in rehabilitation counseling with an emphasis in mental health. And Rick Keeling currently resides in his home city of Dallas, Texas, with his family. So Rick has always had a secret passion for writing stories and poems for children. And over the years, he has accumulated ideas and maintained them for the future. After writing for his own children and paying attention to their reactions, he began the process of putting stories together. With the encouragement from his mother and uncle, Rick was given an even stronger purpose to write as they challenged him to use his dreams and imagination to move forward with his ongoing passion, getting his stories in the hands of young readers to spark their interest and imagination. And as a voiceover artist, he also hopes to incorporate an oral narrative component with his stories in the future. So that being said, welcome to the program, Rick.
Thank you for having me so much, Ms. Watson. I really appreciate you.
Well, wonderful. So how is it for you now? How are you feeling having your first book published?
You know, with all the work that it takes to on the front end to get it done, all the exhausting work, I might add, after finally achieving it, it feels outstanding. I mean, I'm kind of speechless at times because for people who don't know the whole process, like I had to learn that process from the ground up, and I have a lot of respect for accomplished authors out there that have been doing it for years and everything like that, because I just never knew that the undertaking of trying to get into the business and get a book published would be so difficult, but it is rewarding at the end of it all when you finally achieve your goal.
And you have that book in your hand.
Yes.
It makes it all worth it, I know. So was the biggest surprise for you in the publishing and promotions end of it?
The biggest surprise in terms of the work that it took to put into it, is that what you're asking?
Yes.
That had to be on the front end when, as I read all of the advisory letters from past published authors about rejection letters from the queries mm-hmm. that you send in and things of that nature. So I believed that I had armed myself with very thick skin to find out only that it was very paper.
Yeah.
It was paper thin, you know, so I had to morph into something that I was glad that I was, you know, able to become. I mean, it helped me grow as a person to go through that process too. You know what I mean?
It
really helped me on a various facets of my life. It really did.
And there is just such a learning curve with this with that first book. And I know that you have many more to come. So you know, this was the initiation process.
Oh yeah, and you know, and the cool thing about it is that you're taking notes all along. May's like, okay, won't be doing that again.
Yeah, right.
Or you know, okay, I don't know.
Or
what to
this
do
worked.
Next time. Yeah. This is what works, this is what does not work. So you're taking mental notes all the way along the whole process, you know what I mean? And hopefully it'll make the sophomore effort. It'll make it easier than that first one, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, it will. Well, tell us in your own words then, Rick, what really led you to embark on this career writing for children?
Well, As you mentioned in the bio, I'd written for my kids all along, you know, and I just loved when they were younger. I used to love seeing their little faces light up when I would say something lyrically fascinating to them. Their little faces would just bright up, and that kind of compelled me to just write little fun things for them on my own. And as they got older, you know, I had to make it more age appropriate for them. You know what I mean? So that actually, in a sense, gave me the opportunity to practice the craft as well. But what really propelled me into it was my mother. She passed away from breast cancer in 2004, mm-hmm. and she became ill for the second time in 2002. And we visited from California, and at the time we visited, she was bedridden. My favorite children's book is Love You Forever by Mr. Munch, And I wanted her to read that story so bad because it was my favorite kid's book.
Mm.
And once I walked into the room and laid the book on the bed, and before she even touched it, she looked me right in my face without blinking, and she said, "Did you write it?" You know, and,
wow.
You know, and I've never wanted to say yes at a time of my life, you know, at any time of my life, because when looking at her, she really believed that I could write that book, you know, and
mm-hmm.
at that point in time, that was a cathartic, I mean, that was a very cathartic moment, because I was sitting there thinking to myself, man, my mother believes that I can actually do this.
Yeah.
And of course, at that time, I had no idea what to do. So I would attend Barnes & Noble and thumb through those books, see what the process, see what it takes to start the process, what it takes to get going, because I had no idea, because
mm-hmm.
I'd never researched it before, because I really hadn't considered it before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I went to Barnes & Noble University, is what I call it.
That's great, and there's so much information on the internet right now,
yes,
too.
Yes, there is so much information on the internet. I mean, it's one of those situations to where, I mean, you know, when you put something out there and query something, you wouldn't be surprised with how many you get, but it's so overwhelming too. And then you got to figure out which one to pick, which model to follow, which one would be more successful in with what you're trying to do, and things of that nature. So that took a while to educate myself on, because I didn't just begin to. I wanted to put some education behind it
mm-hmm.
for myself before I started just sending them out there. So I gathered what I deemed at that time to be an adequate amount of information that I needed to begin to get started on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and I just went from there.
Fantastic. So you picked imagination as basically the theme of this first book. So tell us a little bit about your childhood and how imagination was important, or if it wasn't, or how it was encouraged.
Imagination for me as a child, it was very, very important, because, I mean, at that time, I had what I call now rocks, socks, sticks, and bricks to play with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We didn't mm-hmm. have... I didn't have the plethora of electronic gaming devices or the computer age. I mean, it wasn't really around at that time to where, you know, you had plentiful computer games to play and plentiful things on TV for kids to watch. I mean, at that time, I mean, cable really wasn't taking off or, you know,
yeah.
things of that nature. So,
yeah.
I mean, you and your friends and by yourself, you had to go out in the backyard and, you know, and make your own way for your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And I was really encouraged to use my imagination, because my mother would make me be active. She would make me go out there and do something with yourself, or go have fun, you know, live a little, and just to go do this, imagine this, you know. So I would begin to take props. I would begin to take props and use those props and make my own little scenarios, you know what I mean, to have hours and hours of fun, you
yeah.
know, myself,
yeah.
you know, which is what the kid does in the book himself. He doesn't use any electronics to create the scenarios in the story. He uses things around the house, you know, broom, you know, a broom for a guitar. I'm an avid Hendrix fan, so that had to be put in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he uses a paper plate for a truck. You know, he uses a stick for imaginary conducting of a symphony and things of that nature. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where that came from. I mean, those scenarios kind of came from what I used.
Your own experience.
Yeah, it
right.
came kind of from my own experiences. You know what I mean? And I kind of wanted to put that out there, because right now, I mean, there's a number of reasons why I wanted to put that out there. The main reason I wanted to get it out there is the technological age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, today our kids, they sit for hours and hours. They will sit for hours and hours if we as parents let them, playing what I call artificial imaginary games versus organic imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, the second most important reason that I wrote this book is that, I mean, if we're watching the news, we see just about once every month that the childhood obesity rate is climbing something fierce. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And our children today sitting using those games for hours and hours at a time, or sitting in front of the computer hours and hours at a time, that definitely, I believe, my personal opinion, that it contributes to the childhood obesity rate, because, you know, inactivity versus activity, you know, it will definitely bring about our diets. Our children's diets today aren't the best either, you know what I mean? So
sure.
Inactivity with diets such as that, you know, that's kind of a big, that's a big thing. I mean, it's kind of a cause, if I might say,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm not anti-electronic gaming devices. I'm more about, it's more, to me, it's more about the balance, you know, have fun playing those games, but also get out there and be active.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's healthy.
I think the repercussions of a society that lets their children, you know, just sit at these games are really far-reaching if we look to the effects in the future. I mean,
this is
an entire generation that is really, you know, utilizing this technology in a habit-forming or addictive way almost.
Yeah, it is. And I've read studies out there that, you know, about the, you know, 1 in 10 children are have an addiction to, you know, gaming devices and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, there are no valid diagnoses in the DSM-4 that says that a kid is actually, you know, there's no diagnosis for a kid go to the doctor and say you have game playing osis or something like
right.
that. You know what I mean?
It may be coming though.
Oh, but I do believe that it's coming.
Yeah.
I do believe that it's coming because the gaming devices are so plentiful out there right now, and they're becoming more and more advanced.
Yeah.
And the more advanced those gaming devices become, that's less organic imagination that our children have to use.
Right.
So, I mean, I shudder in about a decade from here, like you said, another generation. I mean, what's going to be the repercussion of our children doing this?
I wonder if there have been any long-term studies. There probably haven't been because we don't have the technology. But really, when children's imagination is stifled like that, it has to affect the adult creativity levels.
But you also, Ms. Watson, you know what? In order for there to be long-term studies like that,
mm-hmm.
there has to be enough people that believe that this
mm-hmm.
is a problem. You understand
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Sure.
If you don't have a lot of people that believe that this is a problem, then nobody's going to try to study it. Nobody's going to pay attention to the study.
Yeah.
You know, if they do make a study, will parents listen to the study?
Right.
You know, I'm a parent myself.
Right.
I will be the first to tell you that sometimes I have to be honest with you. It's just almost way too easy to let them sit there and go.
That's the babysitter.
Yeah, you go ahead. Let the TV watch you, and you watch it. You know, or that in front of, but it's really easy to do that, and I'll be the first to tell you.
Sure.
You know, I'm just being honest with you.
But I like
the
idea of balance that you say.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to make it a point that it's not anti. It's just trying to promote balance. It's trying to promote a balance.
Mm.
You know, there's nothing wrong with playing the game. You know, but there's also nothing wrong. There's also nothing wrong with sharpening your mind with organic imagination that, you know, to be able to think about what you could become in the future. You know what I mean? The kid in the story uses, for instance, he has a line where he says, as I'm speaking to you very seriously from my podium that you call the kitchen table, to be the president of the United States one day I may be able, but right now it's my imagination. But you see, he's thinking about what he can become using
mm-hmm.
the most basic of basic things around the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to me personally, when a kid is playing a gaming device where he's running over people or shooting people with guns, you know, where does that go?
Right.
Where does that take you?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
You know?
I love this term organic imagination. Did you come up with that?
I did.
That's fantastic.
I figured organic versus artificial. You know what I mean? To me, it was just kind of, it was a sense. It's artificial, which is the games, you know, organic, which is natural, you know, and that's, I'd like to kind of get that word out there. Like, and it's a small movement, but in my mind, it's a movement, you know what
it
I mean?
It is.
And it's something that, you know, personally, I believe in a couple of years, and unfortunately, it's going to take a couple of years because when the consequences and the effects begin to take place, that's when people are going to begin to wake up and start looking at this issue and see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I just believe that a lot of people, including myself, we selectively turn our heads, if you will.
Yes. So what is the difference as far as brain activity when we're talking about organic imagination versus the artificial imagination? What is it? Are we utilizing different parts of our brain?
I believe that when you're playing a gaming device, I believe that there is a difference between synaptic activity that takes place when you're playing a gaming device to say, you know, let's go from my neurons or whatever to my thumbs to make my thumb avoid being ran over or being shot.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are in your backyard and you are imagining that you are conducting a symphony, you know, and think about the brain activity that it takes to individualize each and every instrument and have them synonymous and have them all acting at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's a broad, when you use your organic imagination, it's my belief that you are using such a broad amount of brain activity to control all of these different many aspects that are going on at one time versus, you know, when you're playing a video game and there's a car, you're driving a car and you're trying to miss this car and miss that car and push that button to make that car go as fast as it can to get to the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of two, three-dimensional. When you are using your imagination and thinking about all these other things with the symphony experiment, you know, think about how many dimensions that covers, you know, the loudness, the softness of the instruments, the drum versus the horn, you know, and your activities versus, you know, and things that it's just my belief. You bring about a lot of more brain activity when things like that versus games.
Clearly, clearly. Well, tell us about your interpretation of the title of your book, It's Just My Imagination.
That means that if you see me, that's a very good question. But that means that if you see, in this day and age, if you see me as a kid out there in the backyard flailing my arms, don't send me to the doctor to put on Ritalin.
Oh, God.
You know, don't take me to the psychiatrist saying that to let them say, could you please assess my child because I saw him in the backyard and he was waving his arms and talking and nobody was there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and that's why the kid in the story reminds him, you know, but don't worry. It's just my, it's what it says. If you see me doing this activity, if you see me doing that activity, don't worry because I'm just using my imagination.
Mm.
These days, if a kid doesn't have a gaming device in their hands, they are the odd person. They're the odd child out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, find a child that, you know, find a child that just doesn't do the video game thing. You know, they're going to be very odd. They're going to be the odd child out. I go do presentations at school, and
mm-hmm.
one of my first questions I asked is, who in here likes playing games? And 98%,
all the hands go up.
Yeah, they just go up. You know what I mean? They just go up.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll straight up ask them. I'll ask them flat out, how many of you feel like you play the games too much? And then it drops about 80%.
Yeah.
But you know what? But those kids are telling you the truth.
Yeah, sure.
They know that they're playing. They know that they're playing the games too much.
Yeah.
They know, and they openly admit it. And that also leans to the idea that we as parents, we let them play too much. You know, but it's just my imagination. The word "just" had to be put in there because, you know, it. As a child, the child is saying, it's just simple. I just want to use my imagination. I want to play like I'm driving a truck. I want to, you know, I want to get out there and conduct a symphony. I want to use that cardboard box in the book. I want to use a cardboard box as an oven to create desserts, cakes and pies and things of that nature.
Have you found that there's any difficulties in getting children to relate to some of these common objects found in their house? No.
No. The reason I say that is because when I go to do the classroom visits,
mm-hmm.
I take three props: a broom, a paper plate, and a pencil. And when I hold up the broom, for instance, and I'll say, "Okay, class, what is this?" And they'll go, "Broom." And I'll say, "No, every one of you in here, you're incorrect. This is my giant fly swatter. This is my large paintbrush. This is my sword to slay
mm-hmm.
a dragon. This is." And so I give them about eight examples. And man, their little eyes just get wide open, and it's as if to say, okay, I see where he's going with this.
Yeah.
And so then they almost break their arms, shooting their hand in the sky to tell me what else this broom, you know, from the 99-cent store, what else this broom could be. And they come up with about 20 to 35 different objects that the broom can be when you utilize your imagination.
That must be so rewarding, just seeing that kids' eyes light up like that.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is. It really. I mean, it's so much to the point that it already prompted me on the follow up to this book. You
uh-huh.
know what I mean? They gave me the idea, you know, to do that. But it also, you know, Ms. Watson, it also showed me that if you challenge them, it's there. It may be dormant as it may be, but it is there.
Yeah.
You know, but if you present them with certain things that make them use their imagination, it will come out. One Christmas, I got my then 8-year-old some puppets, hand puppets.
Mm, I know you're into puppets.
Yes, I love it. I love that because when my 8-year-old is putting on a puppet, at that time when my 8-year-old was putting on a puppet show for the family, I knew that every ounce of that dialogue had to come from her brain.
Mm-hmm.
She had to create dialogue for two beings, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And have a third being waiting on the fringes to come into the scenario itself.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to the synaptic, the synapses of the brain, that takes a lot of brain power to do that.
Clearly,
versus using a gaming device. And I'll tell you what, when I was in the store getting those puppets at Christmas time, I'm telling you, the lady behind me got out of line, and she was like, I never thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she was like, where'd you get them? What aisle did you get them from? And she went and got the puppets because, you know, today we want it. They have enough of the other things.
You don't see puppets around very often.
I know.
Anymore.
That's why I grabbed them.
Yeah.
That's why I grabbed them very quickly, you know, and I knew that my child, I knew because I do know what I promote in my children as far as trying to think outside the box, I knew that she would find, you know, she would find pleasure in playing with those puppets, you know what I mean? So I grabbed them when I saw them, but they don't make things like that.
They don't, and I guess you can just get some old socks and make some of your own.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, remember I said rocks, socks, sticks, and bricks?
Right,
those socks were my puppets.
There you go.
You know,
I think that's a lost creative sort of art that we really need to bring back in our children.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It definitely is. And it definitely is. The things that are making money right now on Christmas list and birthday list, they are getting further and further away from the things that promote, you know, healthy development in children.
Creativity.
The creative process. You got to remember, brains aren't fully developed until we're 20. Mm-hmm. So I call kids' brains underdeveloped brains because they are underdeveloped. They have not fully developed yet. Mm-hmm. If you, with developmental growth in mind, if you give a child something that takes away from a healthy developmental growth, what's to be expected?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You understand?
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Hi there. Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Rick Keeling. His new book, It's Just My Imagination, is on shelves now, and you can find it at local booksellers as well as the typical online, Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. But you're going up against a big industry when you're talking about, you know,
exactly.
Christmas and all of that. There's big money in gaming devices.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
They say, I want, the kids say, I want, and we... Me included, as parents, we give them what they want in the spirit of, you know, in the spirit of giving kids what they want for Christmas. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that we're, you know, otherwise when we give them other things other than gaming devices and things like that, they don't understand that we're trying to help them, you know, down the road and later on.
So I guess for parents to really get active, get proactive with encouraging their children to do these kind of creative activities, I guess that's really important. And if the parents have a good attitude about it, I'm sure the children will just follow that model.
They will. The children, I know, I've seen it. I've witnessed it in the classroom. I've witnessed it in the classroom when the kids are raising their hands up and telling me that, you know, showing me that a folded paper plate could be a jellyfish. A clock, a paper plate could be a mask, you know, a paper plate could be the symbol on the presidential United States podium. I mean, I've witnessed these things, and I know that it's in the brains of the kids. We just have to do, and we have to present them with activities so that we can extract that and put that and try to mix that in into the forefront of all their, you know, their little thoughts and things like that going on. But it is there. It's there. We just have to promote it.
Yeah. Yeah, wake it up. So were you testing these activities on your children?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, I was. Matter of fact, my youngest child, she's the one. I mean, she for my next book, after I told her what I wanted to do with the follow-up book, she went and wrote, she actually went and scripted pictures and dialogue and all, you know, these things that the broom, for instance, could be while she's, you know, so she kind of gave, she was very helpful in providing me her thoughts on it.
Oh, great.
And she, you know, she drew it all out. She drew diagrams to prove it and everything like that. So I was very pleased to see that.
Very smart. She's going to tell Daddy how to write his book.
yes, you know. So,
that's great.
Says, Daddy, here's your title. Okay, yeah. thank you very much.
So what is the age range for It's Just My Imagination?
I'm gonna say for all intents and purposes 4 to 8. But to me, I mean, I read at a private school the whole fifth grade class, which is about 10 years old. It's always hard for me when we ask about the age range because I want the kid to be 3 and the parent read to that kid,
mm-hmm.
and I want that kid to be 11 already playing games, but kind of go back and realize that that's not organic imagination. Here's some ideas that, you know, that you weren't presented with while you were 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I always have trouble with that because I want to kind of catch every age range. I want parents to read to kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a 3-year-old, 4-year-old kid can't read the book, but if a parent will read that book to the kid will fully understand about imagination and about using the props and things of that nature.
So imagine the parent will benefit too, because
exactly.
I mean, we've got, just because we're adults doesn't mean we don't have organic imagination.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. And parents, and I guarantee you that when parents are reading this book to their children, the parents are going to get flashbacks because, you know, I'm not the only one that didn't have the technology age pass mm-hmm. me by or become important to children after, you know, my childhood. You know, parents are going to see these things and they're going to identify with what they did when they were kids as well, using their organic imagination, playing in the backyard, pretending that you were a football player, evading, you know, a full defense of football players coming to tackle you. You know, therein lies activity again.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? So, I mean, parents will get, I think parents can get ideas from this and present that to their kids.
Very, very inspiring for parents. And really, a book like this has the capacity to really change family dynamics if a parent really would like to get involved.
I really believe so. I definitely believe so. I definitely believe so, but it's also at the same time, you know, when you're one individual, you know,
yeah,
that's why it's like, you know, I'm gonna drop against the ocean, you know what I mean?
But, yeah.
But nonetheless, it is that important to me.
Sure.
And I have kids, you know, and I think it should be that important to other parents as well.
And I think it really says something when you are a parent and you're writing from your own experience. And so that just puts a lot of power behind your message. So on a technical side, what are your considerations when you're writing a book for children and making it relatable for them? They can be a tough audience.
Yeah, although I've had a tough critic or two as a child, you know, but it's one of those things to where I believe this. I don't want to present something to them that they can read and feel like a genius. I'd rather present something to them that's going to make them feel that they've been challenged.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I want them to feel that they've been challenged. You know, and the concept on some kids, of course, it's going to be foreign because they, you know, some kids are not going to have any idea what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because some kids are not going to know what I'm talking about because it's never been presented to them before.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I mean?
Sure.
So, I mean, it's going to, with some kids, it's going to be a hit and miss thing. I mean, there are going to be kids. I mean, I fully accept this. There are going to be kids that are going to open up this book and it's not going to talk about, you know, it's not going to talk about the latest activities of playing games and computer games, and they're going to look at it and scoff.
Yeah. Sure, put it down. It's like, what is that?
They're like, what is this foreign? When was this written?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
right.
And I know that that's going to be the case. That
yeah.
was one of my. I think I had a 7-year-old critic, and you know, and I fully understand where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I fully understand where he was coming from. You know,
kids are so honest and in the moment.
Oh yeah, they're very honest. Oh yeah, they're quite honest. But you know, but that's where I want. That's where. You know, hopefully it will get into the hands of parents as well,
yes,
to
sure.
be able to present it. Because, you know, parents are able to approach their own children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to approach my children in a way that other parents don't know how to approach my children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can take and buy the concept and understand the concept, then you can come up with a way to present it to your child.
Good point.
So that your child, you know, on his own terms, can accept the idea of, you know, utilizing organic imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say when we talk about age range, I just want everybody involved. I'd like to have everyone involved.
And I guess for parents, making it fun too, and not just
yeah.
oh, it's time to put down your gaming device and do
yes.
the, you know, as if it's almost like homework or, you know, something
yes.
oh that they're grudgingly doing.
Right. I mean, we can't go from gaming devices and then sit our kids down and go, okay, now let's go back to the dark ages where we just had
puppets.
You know, the kids are not going to be able to identify with that. With the idea of balance in mind, we have to make a smooth transition with them, and we have to individualize it to that kid,
yeah.
you know, or individualize it to that family. You know, here's family time to do this. Okay, if I let you play this or do this, then we're going to do this activity on the other, you know, at the other end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
But parents have to become involved with it. But for a parent to say, hey, here's a book on imagination, go ahead and read it. You know, that could prove quite difficult for that child to even accept the concept, you know.
Clearly. So how often do you think that a parent should really consciously encourage these types of activities in their children when you consider schoolwork and sports and all everything else that goes on with
as equal as possible.
Really?
In the spirit of balance, as equal as possible.
Mm-hmm.
As equal as possible. I'm not a parenting expert, as I said before, but you know, I do believe that they do need some relief from school that most kids believe that, it, you know, is a very cumbersome activities to have to go to school. So I do believe that they have to have a side or a balance of letting their hair down, so to speak, you know, which now when they decide to do that, of course, it's going to be everything anti that school promoted, you know, structure,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So they're going to want something non-structured and things of that nature. So that's an extreme spectrum right there. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And then a third component has to be the use of the imagination away from artificial gaming devices or artificial or computers or gaming devices and things of that nature. I think it's got to be an equal balance all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that a kid's got to have equal aspects of everything in life. You know, kids that go to school 70%. You know, if a kid goes to school 5 days a week and then they do homework until 9 p.m. at nighttime, they have no time.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
sometimes that can. You know, that can be unhealthy as well, but, you know, so, I mean, I just believe it. And, you know, I don't believe that anyone has the perfect formula for it, you know. No
mm-hmm.
one, I don't believe that any parents have the perfect formula for
mm-hmm.
this balance. It's just got to be us as parents, we as parents getting into the lives of our children and seeing what works for them, what works for us, and what works for the family.
And realizing play and that and stimulating that organic imagination is a part of the equation.
Yes, yeah. I mean that's to me that's one of the most important things. It's also important that they know. I mean, you know, let them know what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know what we're doing. You know, let them understand that. Yeah, you are playing the game over there, and yes, you are in school, but this is another thing that I want you to begin to work on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids, they will understand it if we have to get on their level. We have to get on their level to be able to explain to them on their level, in their words, what we want, we would like to see them do,
mm-hmm.
hence puppets, you know, or whatever organic imagination devices that we can use for kids pending the age. I mean, there are things for kids that are 12, for instance, that could be things that extract, you know, a good use of their imagination, I'm sure.
So just point them in the direction.
Yes, I believe that. I believe
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
They'll get it. They will get it.
Yes. So you have just released or published this book. So tell us a little bit about your next project. I know that you do have an idea underway and when we can expect to see some follow-up books from you.
Well, I have a number of projects going on that I definitely deem to be important. And to be honest with you, which one to choose to try to get behind and get out there is difficult because for instance, I have a book where I have a child, a young man, rather, who he's beginning to learn what breast cancer is about,
mm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
and the title has something to do with pink is not just for girls, you know
mm.
what I mean? So he recognizes that, because I don a pink, you know, breast cancer bracelet like 24/7, and so the kid begins to realize, oh, okay, I saw that. That sign up there with that bow, now I know what it means. Okay, I understand that, and I get that, and I see what's going on, the big race and why it's important and everything like that. And his grandmother you know, his grandmother, he understands it after his grandmother comes down with, you know, breast cancer, and she's cured of it. But, you know, in all of it, he understands what it means to support breast cancer, and, you know, and he saw it directly happen when his grandmother was cured mm-hmm. with the medicines of today that people make donations for to cure mm-hmm. breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to learn pink is not just for girls, because, you know, boys don't like pink. It's not a masculine thing, and that's societally, that's not what we're taught as young boys.
Sure,
you know,
of course.
That pink is, you know, pink is not a boy's color. That
right.
type of thing. So it's a breast cancer awareness thing for children, for young boys, and not having to wait like I did. You know, when not having to wait until someone in your family, you know, it becomes stricken with it. You know, they learn. They can. They
yeah.
have the opportunity to learn about it.
Yep.
You know, beforehand.
That's
but,
a fantastic idea.
Thank you. But once again, it's one of those things that everybody, you know, more people have to feel that it's a pertinent topic that boys learn about breast cancer in order for it to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things, just like this imagination situation. I just believe firmly things of that nature. I believe firmly in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's I'm going to push it
yeah.
to no end, because
yeah.
As, you know, as the cases of breast cancer increase, the awareness is going to have to increase, and each family member, you know, families are going to be it's going to happen to people in just about all of our families, and it would not hurt for a young man to learn, you know,
about it early.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well,
yeah.
I don't know what the statistics are, but it will touch all of our lives in some way.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that's just a fact. It
yeah.
really will. You know, my mother is not here anymore, but my aunt, she was stricken with it, and she is in remission right now. So she went through that process as well.
Yes.
You know, and through her education while my mother was going through it, I mean, she learned a lot of things about herself and what to do and who to seek, when to seek, you know, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's an ongoing necessity to educate yourself all the time. And young boys are not, you know, they're not exempt from having to be educated on as well.
Yeah, for sure. So it sounds to me like you really want to write books that are bringing social issues, modern issues to the table for children.
Yes, yes. It can be difficult sometimes because it has to be written, obviously it has to be written in a manner that they can find interesting to keep turning that next page and
mm-hmm.
turn that next page.
Mm-hmm.
So the writing itself has to be in a manner in which they can find it fun. But there's also an underlying message, too, that, you know, once they read it or once the parent is reading it with them, or if they read, you know, then their parent can add their component to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it can be difficult at times to write, you know, a fun book with an underlying message as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and not be too preachy to children
exactly.
because that turns them off.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That's just a fact.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's just a fact right there. So, you know, it's a very, very exhausting process, to be honest with you.
Oh, gosh. But it's a good thing it has such rewards, right?
Yes.
Well, Rick, I know that you don't have a website. Possibly you're in the process of getting one up, but
yes,
your book is available through all online booksellers and I'm sure can be ordered through local bookstores as well.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Most of the purchases have been coming through mainly BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, and it just about any major online bookstore, you'll be able to find the book.
Fantastic.
So, I mean, it is available.
Great.
And I just really want that word or that message to get out there. And I just really would like to see us, you know, pay more attention to it. And because in the future, you know, it's going to be upon us,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I would just like to go ahead and toss that out there right now so that we can begin to kind of ward off any of the other evils that the technology age may bring.
Yeah,
you know,
which can be exhausting.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's really inspirational talking to the awareness you're bringing to this whole issue. Really, it's so needed. So I just wish you all the best and much success. And I hope I get a chance to talk with you again with your next project.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, this has been wonderful. Yeah, for sure. Well, we are somewhat out of time here, but I do have a few minutes if you wanted to share any final thoughts. So you did kind of wrap it up, but if there was anything left hanging that you wanted to share with our audience, please feel free.
The one last thing that I would like to impress upon everyone is balance, balance, and more balance. I don't want to sound like I'm anti-electronics because there's going to be necessity for it, but to what degree is the issue that I have? And we have to have a great amount of balance. It's up to us as parents to present our kids with that balance, because we know for a fact that if we don't present them with a balanced component, they will go the direction that their little minds would love to go, and to the extreme that it would love to go, unless we serve as an impediment to the direction that they want to go that's not going to ultimately help them down the road. I would just like to impress upon everyone that's listening today to just think about what I said. Just, you know, think about what I said and think about what things may become in the future as our technology age continues to grow.
Thank you, Rick. It's been a great conversation.
Well, thank you too, Ms. Watson. I really appreciate you for having me.
You bet. You take care.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you. All right, listeners, what a great talk with Rick Keeling. His new book just been published. It's a children's book called It's Just My Imagination. Do check it out. It's available through online booksellers as well as through your local bookstore. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live today. I'm Juanita Watson, and until next time.